A warm welcome to you if you are new here at Pillar Baptist. If you have, in the days of this pandemic, tuned into our video stream, we hope and pray that you would join us for worship as soon as the doors of our church open. Until then, welcome and God bless you. Beloved church, all of you PBCers, you regulars, I miss you dearly, and I look forward to worshiping with you all, Lord willing, sooner than later. Would you join me for prayer once again? Let's pray together. Almighty God and lover of our souls, guide and direct us now as we turn to your holy word. We pray especially for all who have tuned in today who are not Christians, who have not put their full trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, have mercy. Open the eyes of their hearts and minds to see and to receive your love. Lord, have mercy. Open their eyes to see love that went to the cross to pay for sins, love that rose from the grave to give eternal life to all who believe. Lord, have mercy. Give sight to the spiritually blind. Give them ears to hear your voice, the voice of their Creator and Redeemer. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, in my 23 years as a Christian, I have always been encouraged by the lives of faithful Christians who have gone before us. Biography and autobiography. I've been especially encouraged by the testimonies of the martyrs. Brothers and sisters who refused to renounce Christ, who remained faithful to the point of death, who gave their lives for the cause of the gospel. Well, at the turn of the year, I stumbled across the story of a Swiss martyr. He was imprisoned in then Catholic Switzerland. As the Reformation swept across the European continent, the gospel thrived in the provinces of Switzerland, and many came to faith. That said, there were still Roman Catholic strongholds among the Swiss cantons. Now, it was the custom in the 16th century to give prisoners time to reflect, an opportunity to recant while imprisoned. And it was said of this one particular Protestant that he was imprisoned for an extended period of time because he exhibited a patient resolve and a refusal to deny the gospel, that he was saved by faith alone, in Christ alone. Well, the day of his execution finally came. He was brought out and tied to a stake to be burned alive. These were public executions. While being tied to the stake, he turned to the bailiff and he asked permission to speak with his judge, the judge who had ordered his execution. According to Swiss law, the judge was obligated to attend the execution. After repeatedly refusing that request, the judge finally stepped forward. At this point, this peasant farmer addressed his judge like this, quote, "Now I freely admit that I am a poor sinner, but I positively deny that I am a heretic, because from my heart I believe and confess all that is contained in the Apostles' Creed. Now then, sir," he proceeded to say, "I have but one request of you, which is that you place your hand on my chest, and then on your own. And then, plainly and truthfully declare before this assembled multitude which of the two, your heart or mine, which of the two is beating more violently with fear and anxiety. For my part," he said, "I leave this world with haste and with joy to go and to be with Christ in whom I have always believed. What your feelings are at this moment is best known by you and you alone. The judge, who stood in his presence, made no answer, and he only commanded that the fires be lit. But it was evident from the look on his face that he was more afraid than the martyr. Beloved, fear has gripped many in the days of this pandemic. The prospect of infection, the prospect of death is ominous. How can we live in this life, in this world, at peace? How did this Christian man stare at death in the face with confidence and peace, without fear? Now, there are good fears, things that we should rightly fear, fears that keep us under the speed limit, fears that cause us to put on our safety belts. It's not that we live recklessly or irresponsibly, God forbid. But there are also bad fears, fears that bind us, fears that produce terror, fears that keep us in bondage. In these days, it's the fear of infection, of sickness, and the prospect of death, our own or that of our neighbors. This fear keeps us in line, social distancing, gloves, masks, and what have you. But listen, dear friends, there is an overarching fear, a universal fear that has touched every soul, a fear that has infected, if you will, all of us. It is the fear of death. And that is why it is so important that you are here today, listening to this sermon. What gave this Swiss martyr joy and peace in the face of death is no superstition. It is no fairy tale. Oh, no, no. He had the antidote. He had the cure and immunity, you see. Listen to the Word of God this afternoon. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John? 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 John 4, 17. Hear God's word and follow along with me if you're able. 1 John 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, that is Christ, as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I want to teach you and tell you today, this afternoon, about this perfect love, about the perfect love of God in Jesus Christ. This love gives us great boldness. This love casts out fear. It banishes fear. Why? How? Well, John says, because as He is, as Christ is, as Jesus Christ is, as He is now, right now, so also are we in this world. And how is He right now? How is He? He is alive. He has conquered the grave. He is risen right now to everlasting life. Death has no dominion over him. He is risen. He is alive and well, risen and ascended, seated right now at the right hand of his Father. And as he is, so also are we in this world. We are alive in Jesus Christ, one with himself. I cannot die. The perfect love of God in Christ has raised our dead souls and given us great boldness in this life and in the life to come. The perfect love of Christ has cast out fear. Do you know this love today? Do you know this power? The power of Christ's love, love that defeated death and conquered the grave. Do you know this love, this power? Put your hand on your chest. What your feelings are at this moment is best known by you and you alone. Which of the two, he said, is beating more violently with fear and anxiety? My non-Christian friends, I thank God that you're here this afternoon, that you've tuned in. This love, this perfect love of Christ that conquered sin and death, this love came into the world for the likes of you. This is the love that lives in the heart of every Christian, and a love that is offered to you today. It is my hope and prayer that you will receive this love and become a Christian today on Easter Sunday. And when you do, the fear of death, fear that causes terror and panic, fear that robs us of our joy, that fear will be banished. It will be laid to rest because of the certainty and perfect love of Jesus Christ. You see, the story of God's love begins, if you will, in the beginning, when Almighty God once created man. Male and female, the Bible says, He created them. You were made in the image and in the likeness of God, created to live in fellowship and communion and love with a holy and a good God. But as soon as God made man, man made his own way. Adam decided that he would be God in his own life. He decided that he didn't need God. And thus, he forsook the fellowship, communion, and love of his Creator and Lord. And he did so by disobeying God's clear and simple command. Adam himself would decide from this point on, after disobedience, what was right and true, not God. He would decide what was good and evil instead of God. The creature forsook his Creator. The living forsook the life giver, and thus he died. He separated himself from the life giver, and so he died, and all of his posterity in him. Sin entered into the world, and the root of humanity's family tree, the first man, Adam, brought death to every branch and to every descendant, for all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We are all of us, by nature children of wrath. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Dead in our transgressions and sins. The result of sin, Adam's sin and ours, is death. The wages of sin, death. Romans 6:23. Spiritual death, as God warned Adam. This is what he warned in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 17. If you eat, you will surely die. And die he did, spiritually. And that spiritual death is what issues for every person in physical death. Since then, death has dominated. It has dominated the generations of fallen humanity. And the fear of it, this fear is real, just as you feel it today. This is the human condition. We have a sinful nature. Listen to the great Jonathan Edwards. He wrote this: "The ruin that the fall brought upon the soul of man consists very much in his losing the nobler and more benevolent principles of his nature, and falling under the power and government of self-love. Before, and as God created him, he was exalted and noble and generous, but now he is debased and ignoble and selfish. Immediately upon the fall, the mind of man shrank from its primitive greatness and expandedness to an exceeding smallness and contractedness. And, as in other respects, so especially in this, so soon as he had transgressed against God, these noble principles were immediately lost. And thenceforward, he himself shrank, as it were, into a little space, circumscribed and closely shut up within himself, to the exclusion of all things else. Sin, like some powerful astringent, contracted his soul to the very small dimensions of selfishness. And God was forsaken, and fellow creatures forsaken, and man retired within himself and became totally governed by narrow and selfish principles and feelings. Self-love became absolute master of his soul, and the more nobler and spiritual principles of his being took wings and flew away." Sin, our sin, has made us hostile to God. It has turned us into selfish, debased monsters, entirely governed, as Edward says, by selfishness. Sin, the plague of plagues that leads to death, physical death to be sure, but far worse, eternal death, an eternal separation from our Creator and Lord. And what is even more frightening than physical death is facing Almighty God, is standing before His judgment seat. For while our sin hurts and harms our neighbors, while it kills us and leads to our ruin, it is primarily committed against a good and holy God who made us to live in holy fellowship with Him. Sin is a heinous crime committed against a good and holy and loving God. And listen, all have sinned and fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. As sure as the sky is blue, so also is none righteous, no, not one. None seeks after God. We have all of us turned aside and have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. And as such, we cannot redeem ourselves. We cannot make atonement for our own sins, not ultimately. Jeremiah the prophet says, "Can a leopard change his spots? The Ethiopian his skin?" Who will deliver us from sin and death? Only a holy and living God. Listen, my non-Christian friends, God is righteous and just and holy. And thus, he cannot allow sin and injustice and unrighteousness to go unpunished. But he is also merciful. He is also loving and abounding in compassion and grace. And so, he sent a Redeemer. He sent a Deliverer, a Messiah, the Savior. He sent his only begotten Son to do and to accomplish for fallen humanity what we could not do for ourselves. He came to bring us back to God, to put away our sins and deliver us from death. He came for the sick. He came for the lost, to call sinners to repentance. Listen, friends, this is what the Bible is all about. It's a story of redemption. It is the truth about Redeemer God and how he saves and redeems the unredeemable, you and me. Sadly, some of you, many of you, don't think yourself sick. You don't think that you're in need of saving, in need of redemption. You think you're good enough. And like Adam the first, you believe your own lie. You don't need God. You will be God in your own life, thank you very much. So goes the world, drunk in their own exalted view of self. But Jesus Christ, he came for the likes of you, to call you out of the darkness of sin and into the light of God's truth. He came, the very Son of God, God of God, light from light, the holy and living God, to redeem sinners and to bring them back into the eternal communion and fellowship that they were made for, into eternal communion with Almighty God. First, he would deal with sin. Jesus would deal with sin, not his own, for he had none, but our sin and your sin. He offered himself on a cross as a substitute, as a substitutionary sacrifice. He gave his holy and infinite life. Jesus Christ spilled his blood to make atonement for sin. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. Again, the wages of sin, death. And so, he died. He shed his blood on the cross and died. Why? Why? So that all who look to him, so that all who trust in him, so that if you put your full trust in his person and his work on the cross, you will be forgiven of your sin, the sin that kills and separates you from a holy and loving God, your Creator and Redeemer. He stood in your place, in our place. He took our penalty. He absorbed in himself on that cross the penalty of sin for all who would believe. For you, if you trust in him as your Savior. Listen, God is not telling you to do this or to do that, to lead a religious life or get your act together. That is not salvation. All the good deeds that you could ever do will never, ever deal with your sin. Personal merit cannot transform you from within. Personal effort cannot transform your sin nature. No, you must be born again. Made new, regenerated, you must be redeemed. And hear it, this Easter Sunday, you must be raised from the dead. With man, this is impossible. But with God, With God, all things are possible. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood. He laid down his life for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous. And the Apostle Peter, who was preaching this very gospel that I'm declaring to you now, the Apostle Peter was preaching this gospel in Jerusalem just after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. He was preaching to a multitude of unbelieving Jews, and he said this to them in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 24. He said this, and listen very carefully, Jesus Christ was delivered over to death. He was crucified, as we've been describing. But it was God who raised him up. Peter said, God raised him up. He was resurrected on the third day because, and here it is, Peter says this, it was not possible that death should hold him. It was not possible. He was crucified. He died on a cross and was buried. But Peter said, and I say to you, it was not possible for death to hold him. And listen, this is why we are here today. And I should say every Sunday. This is what we celebrate. This is what we remember. And if you are a Christian, this is what lives in you every day. This resurrection life, this power. Put your hand on your chest. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Listen, friends, there is a universal fear that has touched every soul, a fear that has infected every person. And that is why it is so important that you are here today, right now, listening to this. There is one, only one, who has conquered the grave. And it was not possible that he should be held by death. Not possible because of who he was and is. It was not possible for death to hold or triumph over the author of life. Impossible. Not possible because God had already promised to raise him. Psalm 16, verse 10, the psalmist says, you will not allow his soul to remain among the dead, nor let your Holy One see corruption. It was said of the travelers on the Emmaus Road in John 20, verse 8, that they did not know the scriptures that Messiah must rise again from the dead. You see, not possible, because God had already promised to raise him up, and he never breaks a promise. Impossible. Death could not hold him because it was his intent. It was the intent and purpose of Jesus himself to deliver us from our sin and from death. It was his intent to be our Savior. And as such, death could not hold him. He must rise. He is risen. I know that my Redeemer lives. He is alive and well. You see, it was for love that merciful God sent his Son. For love that Jesus went to the cross. For love that he rose again. It was from love that God planned this salvation, this forgiveness for our sins, and this eternal life in resurrection power. And if this perfect love of God be in you, if you receive the love of God and Jesus Christ, then listen, that perfect love will, as John tells us, it will cast out fear. it will cast out fear. Jesus Christ is resurrected, alive and well, in fellowship and communion with his heavenly Father. And listen, if you find your life in him, then you too will live in this world as he now is, even as he is now, in love and resurrection power. You will live for an eternity with God Almighty. You will be forgiven of your sins and justified in the sight of God. You will live in perpetual communion and fellowship with Almighty God. And this spiritual life, this faith, will issue not in death, but in eternal life, in which there is no fear. Fear has been banished. It has been cast out. And listen, brothers and sisters, if fear remains, if you find yourself despairing even of life, then let love, the love of God, the love of Christ, have its perfect way in you. In all things, listen now, Christians, in all things, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, he says in verse 37, chapter 8, he says, in all things, not some things, not a few things, but in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. It's not just conquest. It's not just victory. It's more. We haven't just beat death, you understand. No, it's more. It's more. We are more than conquerors. We can stare death down and say, put your hand on my chest. We live this life in peace and with great joy. And I can and will leave this world when my time comes with joy and great anticipation, for I know my Redeemer lives. More than conquerors, you see, through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present nor things to come, height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Nothing and no one can separate you, Christian, from the love of God. If you are in Christ, if you have repented and put your faith in him, then God has put his perfect love in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This love casts out fear. It says, this love says, the Lord is my helper, I shall not fear. What can man do to me? What can disease or infection do to me? For nothing can separate me, nothing. What are you afraid of, beloved? If you are in Christ, fear not. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33, he said this, in the world, you will have tribulation. You will. But take heart. I have overcome the world. If you don't know Christ this afternoon, if you have not received the love of God in Christ by faith, then there is much to fear. And afraid you should be. Listen, my friend, if I cannot woo you to Christ, if I cannot woo you to Christ by telling you of his love, then I pray that fear drive you to him, to receive the perfect love that will make you whole, and that will drive out fear, and that will ultimately reconcile you to your Creator, and I pray, your Redeemer. Love that will live on beyond this life and carry you into eternity. I pray, if you will not be wooed to Jesus, that fear would drive you to him. And in that sense, that would be a good fear. It is as the old hymn teaches us, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Put your trust in Jesus today. Lord, have mercy. Let's pray together. Lord, we confess that our sin was and is horrible. The death of Christ on the cross teaches us just how horrible it was. We turn away from our sins, and we receive the sacrifice of your Son as the sufficient payment for our sins. Nothing else and no one else could have paid for our sins but you, Lord. No priest, no sacrament, no good deed, nothing and no one, only Christ. What's more, no one could have ever conquered the grave. No one has ever been victorious over death. No one but Jesus Christ. And he is now alive and well. And we by faith have put our trust in him. And so we are alive with him, never to die again. There is no fear. The perfect love of Christ has cast out all of our fear. And this we believe, Lord. But we pray, help thou our unbelief. Strengthen us, we pray, in the anchor of this gospel in these days. Increase our confidence in Christ, so that when our time comes, we too may leave this world with haste and joy, looking forward to the world of glory. We love you, Lord, and that because you first loved us. All glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.